You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're discussing the carnage in Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Nigeria, and of course France over the last week, and asking why should Lebanon, Iraq, and France react to the terror attacks? How are they going to? What should they expect from the rest of us in solidarity with them? I've made my own position, I hope, clear, and hopefully not at too great a length. So let me go straight into the calls. And one of our best callers is Declan in Ireland. Declan, welcome.
Hello, George. In my opinion, the attack on Lebanon is the most important of those attacks, because Lebanon is the answer to Israel. Lebanon shows that Sunni Shia Christians can all live in harmony. And it's in the interest of Israel and her allies to destroy that harmony. So that's the first point I want to make. The second point I want to make is as regards that horrible David Cameron fellow who has already destroyed Libya. Just today, for example, he's saying that ISIS, Daesh, whoever, are working hand in hand with the Syrian government and the Syrian army, buying oil, etc., which is pure nonsense and a big insult to the thousands of Syrian soldiers who have had their heads cut off by the Western-funded Daesh. Now, this is not a time to get emotional. This is a time to even the score. And in Britain and in Ireland, with Claire Daly and as in England with Jeremy Corbyn, the situation we're in now is if people like make any modicum of sense whatsoever, the ignorant media and the ignorant politicians who have Iraq on their hands, Libya on their hands. If I look at the screen, I can see 20 fishermen were killed in Yemen by these Saudi characters. What crime did they commit? So we have the people who specialize in slaughtering Arabs, in arming the people who slaughter them, giving the likes of Jeremy Corbyn lectures. And until British politics like Jeremy Corbyn or Irish politicians like Claire Daly can say what most British people, what most Irish people think, without these criminals getting on their case, there's very little chance for progress. The war seems to be in a better stage at the moment, but the soft war is as ever. I'm just back from Iran, and I met the parents of one of the nuclear scientists who was assassinated for no other reason than being a good student, etc. And those two people, and I also a friend of mine whose father was killed in that stampede in Mecca, that money-making Saudi operation. The Iranians, they're spending a huge amount of money to try to rebuild a Shia shrine in Iraq that these characters destroyed. Now, I'll ask you a simple question: Who would you prefer to be with? People who rebuild shrines, people who quietly mourn their dead sons who died for being students, or with the people who rejoice in slaughtering? And what kind of politician would you like to hang around with? Somebody like Jeremy Corbyn, somebody like David Cameron and Mr. Obama. And I'd vote for Jeremy Corbyn myself.
Me too.
So that's my piece, George.
Me too. Thank you very much indeed, Declan. Let's go to Glasgow, my old stamping ground, and talk to Fatima. Fatima, welcome.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just listening to all the comments. I'm trying to remember my own. I was just quite shocked with the Paris attacks, and it just astounds me that these people can think that they're actually Muslims. I used to just think there was other things involved, but once I watched a documentary, and these people genuinely seem to believe they're doing the right thing, and I just don't understand how there can be people like that who call themselves Muslims living in the world. And
well, and Fatima, it happens in all religions, of course. The Ku Klux Klan in the United States, just before they lynch black men or burn their fiery crosses and conduct acts of terrorism, they believe that they are Christians. They believe that they are acting in the name of Jesus. And so it's not really a surprise or unique in any way that you have some Muslims who believe that they believe, but have turned away from the Quran. And if you turn away from the Quran, you cannot be a Muslim, of course. But they have clearly turned away from the Quran. They've turned away from the battlefield to murder innocent women in various parts of the world, children, old men. They've turned away. But that doesn't mean that they themselves don't believe that they are Muslims. And that's what's so very hard to take for other Muslims. Fatima.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's shocking, because being a Muslim, there's some things that are just sort of basic elementary things that you understand, and it's just shocking that they could actually kill innocent people and think that that's completely acceptable and that God would be pleased with that. That's shocking. But at work, you always feel this collective punishment. Like when I went in the next day on Monday, I was dreading it, thinking, oh God, because I'm the only Muslim there, and it would look really, really, it's just that feeling in the air. And
how was it?
The people there are just always so lovely. Yeah, they feel hurt, but what I observed was they feel that pain when something horrific like this happens, and rightly so, closer to home because it's Europe and it's Paris. But I felt that pain not just for my brethren, whether they're Muslims and your brothers in faith or sisters in faith, but also just for all humanity. I felt it when I was a kid watching Palestinians being killed and Israelis. That was constantly in the news. And then the first Iraq invasion. I just think it's astounding how people can just, they relate to their own, their own kind. And I had these conversations with people at work, and I said, you're feeling that, and it's a shock to you, and probably because, I don't know why, but for myself, I felt that for 15 years since the war on terror started, when they blew up Afghanistan in retaliation for the Twin Towers. And so I'm no stranger to how that feels. It's been shocking right across the board.
Fatima, you're in Scotland. You saw the footage we showed from Methil. There can't be many Muslims in Methil, but two who were there, elderly shopkeeper and his wife, were mercilessly beaten by 12 young men, captured on CCTV. We saw it there. Is this being denounced in Scotland? Is it being reported? Are Muslims in Scotland afraid of
George,
what comes next?
George, that's news to me, because I've not even heard of that. I mean, this is the thing, you don't get, it's a one-sided sort of report. It's all about bad Muslims, but anything, any kind of Islamophobia, it's not widely reported.
And QED.
Sorry?
QED. What I suspected, you've just confirmed.
Okay.
That you, as a Muslim in Glasgow, were not aware.
No.
That 50 miles away or less, a Muslim elderly couple were mercilessly beaten to the almost to the point of death as they locked up their shop.
That's so hurtful to hear. It's shocking.
By 12 cowards, by the way. 12 cowards. non-Muslim cowards in this case.
Well, my colleagues at work were saying now, basically were saying that the reporting is so one-sided. I mean, they recognised that, and they were also saying that there's so many people.
Well, I'm sure they are quite advanced, Fatima.
No, they were saying there's lots of people jumped on the bandwagon. There's so much hatred that's been spewed against Muslims coming on to Facebook.
I just want to make the point that one of the reasons why they'll be more advanced is because they have a gracious woman like you in their presence. Fatima, thanks for that wonderful call from Glasgow. Let's go to Switzerland and talk to Bani. Bani, welcome to the show. Bani, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, go ahead.
Yes, sir, I just, things are here on the table. I was just wondering if there is a possibility to wait for another 20 years or 15 years to bring these people in front of the tribunal, International War Tribunal. The one who are providing the finance, the one who are providing their displacement, The French security, they announced last week that there are only, from France, there are 1,300 French citizens who are going back and forth to Syria. If they know such a fact, why are they waiting to bring the other people easily in front of the justice so they can be stopped? We have to stop providing all the facilities, all the tools that they are using ever since 2011. I mean, it's not something unimportant. It's been going on for over too long, and we have to bring them to the court.
Indeed. Bani, thanks for that call. It's not a great line, but it was a very good call. Let's go to Paris and talk to Samuel. Samuel, welcome to the show.
How's everything?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, George, those guys caused everything that is happening around here, because when the problem started in Syria, the U.S., the U.K., France, every one of them tried to arm and empower those rebels they call moderate group. And those rebels now have turned to the worst group in the world. Now we are seeing that the...
Well, first of all, Samuel, let me interrupt you. First of all, they were not moderate. There was nothing moderate about them. Secondly, any weapons we gave them were immediately taken by ISIS or Al-Qaeda or both. And thirdly, most of the so-called moderate groups are now openly working in collaboration with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Go on.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, because when the war started, I can remember there was 40 tons of weapons that came from France to Syria. And we saw that the U.S. put a... $500 million to train what they call moderate rebel group, and those groups have now become ISIS, and they are well in power, they are well armed, they are well trained by the U.S., France, and the U.K. Now they are bouncing back on Europe. And this is what is the problem. They are now coming back in Europe, causing much problem. Just imagine what we experienced this few days in Paris, and we are continuing to experience it. So it's very, very embarrassing and very serious for the civilian populace around here.
Thanks for the call in Paris. Rabas in London next. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello, George.
Yes,
hello,
go
George.
Ahead. Yes, yes.
Yeah, hi. So I basically wanted to make a point of the fact that the mainstream media is not at all sort of covering the kind of backlash on innocent, like, everyday moderate Muslims. I mean, lots of these sort of attacks and stuff happening on innocent Muslim people have been spread via, like, social media. For instance, there was a recent case where a sister was glassed in the face. There was another mother and child that were crossing the road, and a guy pushed... Actually, they were on the street, and a guy pushed them onto this road as a car was coming. Luckily, she wasn't hurt. And then the other sister, who was at the train station, was almost pushed onto... was nearly pushed onto the tracks by an old man. Just literally, these people were doing nothing. And this is the kind of backlash we're suffering as a result of ISIS. And other sort of terror organizations. But my thing is, responsibility isn't being taken by the mass media, where they're not actually condemning and sort of clarifying the fact that Islam and ISIS are two polar opposites. They're not the same belief in any way. And I suppose more money needs to be spent on educating these vulnerable potential recruits to ISIS via sort of so education and things like that, rather than buying more weapons and just bombing places like Raqqa out of the planet.
Okay.
So,
Powerful point. Thanks very much. Shujat is also in London. Let's hear from him. Shujat, go ahead.
The question put up to me was, what should France do in retaliation to the attacks? That's what your question is. Is that right?
Well, yes, go ahead. How should they react?
I would not agree with your view and your comment that they should attack all over and finish them and obliterate them. I mean, they tried that for 10 years with Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Did anything happen over there? Did they get rid of Al-Qaeda? Osama bin Laden is dead. They found him. They attacked the country. 50 countries attacked Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And they've destroyed the country. They've got
What should we do then, Shujat, now that they're coming over here and planning to murder us? What should we do?
No, we should take it and talk to them, try to communicate in some way to them, make them understand, try to educate them, as the previous caller was saying.
Shujat, that's just... I'm sorry, but that's a fairy story. What are you going to negotiate with ISIS about?
What do they want? What are they after? And why?
They want territory. They want a caliphate in which they can eat people's hearts and crucify them.
And destroy
the religious places and shrines and graves and make the entire place a desert, like Pol Pot tried to do in Cambodia, to return to year zero. How do you negotiate that, Shujat?
You have to understand their psyche. You see, they've seen so much bloodshed, destruction of their people, and so much atrocities from Europe and America. They are after Western European and American blood. That's what it is. In desperation, and they do it in the most horrible of ways. They'll blow themselves up, vaporize themselves, to kill as many Europeans and Americans as possible.
How do you propose we negotiate with that?
How would you fight people like these, Joe? Tell me this. How would you fight them?
We have to kill them, every last one of them.
That's not possible. I think you kill some
people. Well, we better have a close approximation of it. That's not sufficient, but it's necessary.
Here is that the West Africans are now picking up. You see, these were Algerian terrorists, the ones who got killed, and in France, they were Algerian. Algeria and West Africa is picking up, and they are more dangerous than even Taliban, I think.
They're not any longer cutting people's throats and hanging their tongues down like neckties, because Algeria defeated them, admittedly with great brutality. But Algeria defeated them. The Syrian army is on the way to defeating them. They have to be defeated. It's not sufficient, but it is necessary. In Nigeria, where yet another atrocity by these people was perpetrated today. Amin, go ahead. Amin?
My name is Amin from Nigeria, Mr. George.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead quickly, please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, well, sir. Man, I just called to confirm to tell you that the president is just allowing everybody in this all over the world.
Go on. Unfortunately, we have lost Amin in Nigeria. I particularly wanted to talk with him because if the dead in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon are largely ignored by the so-called mainstream media, how do you think they treat the dead, the massacred, the maimed, the murdered in Nigeria? Well, it might as well be on the dark side of the moon. But the characteristics that I outlined in the beginning remain true. And no one, not even Shujat in London, who wants to negotiate with them, has dissuaded me of that this evening. All these people in all these countries were all murdered by the ISIS Al-Qaeda mindset. And all of them were human beings just the same. Whether their skin was black or white, their faith was Muslim or Christian or Jew, or if they were atheist, their blood was red and as precious as any other blood. The people who lost wives, husbands, children, fathers, mourn, grieve, are destroyed just the same wherever they are. The hundreds of victims of the bomb placed on board the Russian jet over Sinai, every one of them was somebody's lover, somebody's son, somebody's wife, somebody's mother, somebody's sister. That's out of the news altogether. They were only Russians. The Lebanese are only Lebanese. Iraqis only Iraqi. Syrians only Syrian. Nigerians only Nigerian. Until we defeat this mindset that the blood of some people is more precious than the blood of others, we are in big trouble in this world. As long as we live in a country where a woman, Fatima in Glasgow, does not know that 2 days ago, an old Muslim man and his old wife were beaten to the point, almost to the point of death, on camera, as they locked up their tiny little shop in a very obscure provincial Scottish town, where I bet they were two of only a dozen, 20, 30 Muslims in the entire town. Fatima didn't even know that it had happened, although she's an educated professional woman and a Muslim in Glasgow, 50 miles away. As long as that woman that was pushed under that underground train is not described as a Muslim in the media, the crime not described as a hate crime, religiously motivated, and as long as people shouting the name of God, claiming to act in the name of Islam, are murdering people across several continents, and no doubt seeking to murder more, we are going to be locked into a confrontation which can end civilized life on this planet. I dread what the next news bulletin is going to bring me. As I was driving through horrific traffic in London today to hear in this studio the call of sirens, ambulances, police cars, fire engines was all around me. On the radio, they were telling me that stations had been closed, roads blocked, and they haven't even come here yet. Not for a decade, at least. So we have to get out of this confrontation. The only way we're going to do it is partnership. All the neighbors of Syria and Iraq must join together, or be forced to join together, with the support of the rest of us and endorsed by the United Nations, and finish this military formation called Daesh and kill its fake caliphate, and then turn to the rest.
Just comment the name of the paper, that number, and just make sure that your telephone volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need a record.